and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come, and it will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Luke 24, 44 to 47. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem."
Yeah. joy of the whole world.
Amen.
I'm going to steal one of the lecterns here. Am I going to mess up your music notes? Are you sure? Okay. Amen. The Lord is good. Jesus is the joy of the whole world. The Bible says that the power of the nations will be shaking and will be shake and shake and shake. And then the desire of the nation will come. And I believe from the depth of my heart, from the small time I've lived here, and most of us who have lived longer, Sister Pat turned 85 this week. She must have lived so longer. And many of us like that. You have seen a lot of shaking and a lot of shaking around you. You've seen so much change. And you begin to wonder, what remains? What else will have to shake? But this, our brothers and sisters, says that Jesus, He is the joy of the whole world. And I know you believe that. And I believe it also too. If you don't mind, please bow down your head with me in prayer. As we open up the scripture this morning. Our Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you this morning. The entrance of your word giveth light. Our Father, Lord, I pray this morning that every human object from this altar will be disappeared. The only object this morning we want to see is your glory. Moses said, Lord, how can we go if your glory will not go with us? And so, Lord, we pray this morning that your glory will radiate in the midst of your people. Thank you for our family here, most people who came for the first time, probably. I ask you, Lord, just the way you do your thing, that you will find a way to touch every heart, so that at the end, your name alone will be glorified. Across the nation today, there are some people who are in mourning, asking why, Lord, why? Why should this happen to us? Lord, we sorrow with those people, we mourn with them. Thank you for some of us and some of us that find ourselves in this great country. And we have this privilege to come to our own church, and we have music, and we have good air condition, we have good lightning, we have Bibles, we have cars to drive to our church, we have good roads, we have so much, Lord. We also want to thank you for those opportunities. It is not a right, it is a privilege we have from you. Again, thank you. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Thank you again. I want to also take this opportunity to thank those people who are visiting our church for the first time. Last Sunday, we were talking about Habakkuk. And I tried to show to us here what the word Habakkuk stands for. Last Sunday, we saw how Habakkuk, how he wrestled, how he struggled to understand about the justice of God, how God reacts when some certain things around our society are going wrong. How does God respond to that? Last week was more of questions Habakkuk was asking. And I told us that last Sunday, we would take time to pause to see, because Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch and I will hear what the Lord will say to me. And the same time last Sunday, we discussed that we have so much voices around us, thousands of voices, a lot of distractions around us. But the point is, how do we position ourselves in such a way that in the midst of this barrage and hundreds of voices you hear, right now I'm talking to you, those voices are coming to you. The only time probably you don't even hear that voice is when you close your eyes and sleep. But you might still be having dreams. So you see that there's constant voices pounding us 24/7. But Habakkuk found himself in such situation, but he said, I will stand upon my watch, and then I will hear what the Lord will say. So Habakkuk also, too, we saw him last week as a wrestler, one who wrestled with all these things we talk about, the sinful things, the bad things, the breaking down of righteousness, the breaking down of God's fear, the breaking down what Judah was doing against God's relationship, you know. So Habakkuk was wrestling to understand how would the people who something was given to, I demonstrated with us with the word spike a ball. You throw a ball, and somebody caught the ball, and then he ran. And as he ran to the end zone, the ball he caught. After dancing and dancing, he took the ball and smashed it on the ground, boom. And so Habakkuk felt that seems like that was what Judah was doing against God. God has given them something to preserve. Now, most of you here could recall the first time you took your youngest or your younger one to school, the first time you just took him or her to school and you drop him off. Just go back again and think what that day looked like as you drop that little baby there and hand it over to the teacher. And as this child looked at the teacher and did not understand who this person is, the only thing she does is she looked back to the mom and dad. I know you. I don't know this person. Mom, what are you doing this morning? Are you giving me away? And that moment, that child began to cry and begin to cry and cry. And you, the parents, you, the mom or the dad, oh, you couldn't go back. Your leg now begin to jittery. You begin to shake. You begin to stay in panic. And then you begin to cry too. Why? Because you feel that this is your baby, this little one, she needs you so much. And how am I just going to give her away this morning? But this is how her life begins. You see, God wants relationship with us. So Habakkuk was kind of crying. I said, Judah, you don't understand this. God gave you something to preserve. How are you preserving that thing? Now, think about that child again you drop off, that child that cried and wept. As that child begins to grow, every day now you take her and drop her off and take her and drop her off. And then that child begins to grow, because by the time she comes back from school, her rooms or room is clean. All her toys are picked and put into the baskets. Everything is in order. And only for her just to come into that room and trash it again. And by the time she comes back again, they're all kept in order. But as this child began to grow, one day, she just come back from school. And then trash her room or his room. And you as a mom or dad, you walk into that room and say, "Hey, Millie, go pick up your toys. Go put your toys together. Go make your bed. Do this, do that." That child may look back at you and say, "What is he saying? Me, I should go pick my toys and do this?" Okay. She absorbed that. He began to grow again. Then he come back to school. He said, "Hey, Millie, go do the dishes." "Oh, my God. You mean dishes again? Oh, things are changing around this house. Millie does dishes." So you don't know Millie does. She does dishes in my house. My daughter is a fine lady, smart. She walks now too. I'm very proud of her. But I'm just giving you an analogy. But you know, but look at this child. The first day drop out of school, she cry, you cry. And now she comes home into a clean place. And then you continue to clean those things up. And now she begins to grow. You begin to give her some responsibilities. One day that child may say, "Oh, gosh, I just can't wait to get out of this house so that I can get a life." She may not say that verbally, but that can be in her mind. Why? Because you are giving her something to do in a family. You are teaching her what it means to grow to be a woman or to be a man. Why I want to spend this story with you? For you to understand, when Habakkuk was traumatized for what Judah was doing against God. So this morning, Habakkuk asked a question last Sunday, and God got an answer. God has to answer back. And I gave you homework, by the way, to go home, to listen throughout this week, and hear what God will say to you. During this service, we're going to make opportunity available to you, to all of us, probably to tell us what God said to you, because I believe that God has to say something to us. He has to. The book of Hebrews tells us that God speaks. He's speaking right now. But somebody have to set time aside, like Habakkuk did, to listen to God. So turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, where we read this morning again. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 4, it says, if you have your Bible, Habakkuk chapter 2:2-4. "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." You see, now God finally answered Habakkuk's question about the backsliding Judah and the moral failure of Judah. But the answer came with some challenges. The answer came with the challenges or some challenges in the heart of Habakkuk and even our own heart. As children of God, we might be even facing the same challenges that Habakkuk faces on time. And that challenges is challenges to understand God. Remember when Habakkuk prays, say, Lord, I cry. You don't hear me. I know a time David said, Lord, it came when I went to look for you, the place I used to find you. I couldn't find you. And maybe that may be the same situation we face this morning. So Habakkuk struggled to understand the justice of God. Do you remember one of our greatest singers and writers of our time? This lady, Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby, you remember that lady? We use most of her music today in our church. Most of us know the story of that lady very much well. You remember that hymn which she wrote, the title of that hymn said, I am thine, O Lord. I love that hymn. I am thine, O Lord. I want you to listen to the words of that hymn. He says, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea, and there are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Just think about that statement. The song goes this way. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. You know this song. Think what is happening in the heart of a woman. She was a few months old when she got blind. But think what was going in her mind when she wrote this classic music for us that has blessed generations. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross a narrow sea, and there are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. My brothers and sisters, so whatever you are going through today or tomorrow, I want you to know you are not alone. The people who gave up the scripture has been there before. Because one thing the devil does, remember last week, they asked David, why are you alone? Because when you are going tough time, whatever that situation may be, the devil begins to whisper to you, say, hey, wait, you are alone. Nobody's going through this situation. You are alone. So this great woman gave us the threshold to understand God's answer to Habakkuk. And why we often struggle about God's decision in our lives. This song provided us a two thresholds. I want you to pay attention to those two thresholds. Because that's going to give us the idea of know how God answered Habakkuk. Threshold number one, the human heart can never understand the depths of God's love in dealing with justice. There's never a time a human heart, ash and dust, a person like me, like you, will understand the depths of God's love in dealing with justice. Let's go back to the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3 again, where we took our test. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3 says, for the vision is appointed time, but at the end it will speak and will not lie. If you go with me again to the book of Psalm chapter 8 verse 4, The book of Psalm, chapter 8, verse 4. He says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him?" You see, why Habakkuk was expecting immediate answer from God about his judgment, or how you have to respond to evil in Habakkuk's time. Instead, the Lord said to him, "The vision is yet for what? Appointed time." Meaning that Babylonian conquest against Judah will not have to come immediately. In fact, Habakkuk himself would not have to see when God will respond to this question he was asking to him. Probably most of us, you know, we know how old we are. You know how much thing you have been asking God. Till where you are today, you have white hair. Probably you haven't got an answer. And probably you may have to go home one day and the answer will not yet come. But does that mean that God doesn't listen, or that God is not hearing you? People always say, justice delay, justice deny. Justice delay, justice deny. Yes, because human justice is imperfect, is cruel, is evil, is partial. If you have money, you will get away with it. If you have somebody at the top, you get away with it. So that is a human justice. Sometimes God may delay his justice equally. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I want us to know that God will never deny his justice upon those that perpetuate evil in a society. God will never deny justice upon those that deserve it. It may be delayed. Like Habakkuk here was feeling that God's justice was being delayed. But God will finally respond. Most of us know the story. Maybe those people today, you know, some of about 6 million Jews that were murdered. Maybe there might be still some people within that generation that are still living today who killed 6 million people. Last Sunday, I showed you a picture of what happened in a church very close to where we pastored before the Lord called us to the ministry. Show you how people walk into that church with a gun and started killing children and killing women and killing everything they can kill there. And the bodies of human beings were stuck on the truck. These were innocent souls. They did nothing wrong. They were not looking for any person. These were just poor people in the village. But the people who carried out that barbaric attack, they may still be breathing today. In fact, most of them may be in the church this morning. Some of them may go to church to ask for forgiveness, and only for tomorrow to go back again and do the same thing. But the Bible is very clear about the justice of God. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21. Proverbs 11, 21. The scripture says, "Though hand draw in hand, the wicked shall never be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." God said, let hand and hand join together to save somebody. I know most of us here, maybe, you know, so fortunately, sometimes most of us have to make a living. Those of us who are lawyers, who may want to go defend somebody in the court, and maybe the person might have told you the story that what you are defending him for, probably he did it. but you still have to go to court and defend him. Yeah. But defending that person, that murderer, or that crooked person, or that whatever that person, defending him can set him free from the justice of man, which what you are paid to do, which is a profession. You've saved that person from the justice of man. But the justice of God is the coming. The Bible says that hand and hand joining together can never save what? A wicked person. But it said, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. In Psalm chapter 99, verse 8, David said, O Lord, our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. This is referring to the children of Israel. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. He said, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and a hand that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sowed discord among brothers. The Bible said there are things God hates. God created us also to hate things. He put that instinct into us to hate things. Most of us hate some food and love some food. Some of us hate some sports and love some sports. Some of us hate some environment. Like most of us here love living in a country. Some love living in the city. In fact, there's a fish, one important fish we used to have in Africa. Very, very important fish. When the dignitary, or you're doing something special, or you want to show the guests how important that guest is, you want to put that fish when you cook with it. It's called stockfish. Stockfish. It's very, very delicious. But here it is. We have one of our finest family here who have known us so much, and they know what we eat. And sometimes when they travel to Bay Area, we will ask them to help us to buy this fish because you can only buy it at Sacramento. And when they bought it, each time they buy the fish and bring it home, they have to use a hose to hose their truck to wash it and sanitize it and clean it because of the odor of that fish. Okay? But it is our best fish. Very delicious. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Okay? But you see, they can't stand it. They don't like it. They don't like the odor. But what I'm trying to tell us here, that God loves some things and hates some things. He says here that God hates this. So Habakkuk was telling the children of Judah, if you're going to have a good relationship with God, you're just going to love what God loves, and you're going to hate what God hates. So today, if you are a child of God, the question you're going to be asking yourself, do I love what God loves, or do I hate what God hates? Around our country today, there are churches today who don't preach about sin, and it's okay with them. But you saw from where we read from the Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 47 says, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus gave a command to preach about sin. Yeah, he asked us to preach about sin. How are people going to repent if they never know what they have to repent from? We have a Broadway churches today. In fact, I was listening to one of those churches 2 weeks ago. It's good to have a big church. It's good to make 90 million a year, bring it to the church, and spend 50 million in the media, and spend 40 million in paying salary. Those things are okay. But what about when we choose not to talk about sin? When we choose not to talk about evil? Just to make people to come to church and feel comfortable. Remember what Jesus said. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and broad is the way that leads to hell. So we thank God for our local church here. We are not a Broadway church. We are a narrow path church. We talk about sin. We talk about evil. We talk about the righteousness of God, because we know it's not about the number. No, Jesus said, "Where two or three gathered in my name, I am there in their midst." Crowd is good. I've been part of the crowd. But God is not moved by the crowd. He just moved by the people who hates what he hates. Threshold number two. The human heart can never understand the height of God's love in forgiving sin. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 1 again. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. The heart of man, the heart of a sinful man, can never understand the height of God's love in forgiving sin. You see, when Habakkuk got the revelation what God was dealing here, Habakkuk said, "You know, Lord, I want you to do it also to in my days, the way you forgive people, the way you are slow to anger, the way you never kill people right there when they do something evil." He said, "Lord, I now get it, the way you deal with us." He said, "In your wrath, remember mercy." When you see that evil boiling like water boiling in oven, you think that is the way the heart of God is boiling. It may not be boiling that way too. Because in wrath, God will always look at what? Mercy. So when the eyes of Habakkuk got open, he said, "Lord, do this in my days." In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I want you to watch this picture. The book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we are yet still sinners, Christ died for us." While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that is exactly what happened. This is what God looked at in the time of evil. This is what he looks at, the blood of his son. He shed it upon all the murderers, all the wicked people you can ever remember in history. The Bible says, while we are still doing that, that Jesus was brutalized on the cross because of sin, because of my sin. And so when you are troubled and ask God why, "God, where are you when this is happening?" I want you to remember what God is looking at. He's looking at this. "This I did for that criminal. This I did to that idol worshiper in the village of Africa. This I did to those who flew that plane into that twin tower. And about 3,000 families died one day. This is what I look at. In your judgment, oh God, remember mercy." Jesus went to the cross. On that cross, he spread his hand up. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And finally, Bible says he cried. And they gave up the ghost. And he said, it is finished. This is what God look at. So if you are worried why things are the way, and God, when are you going to change? God, why do you leave me alone? God. This is what God is looking at. Habakkuk said, Lord, in your judgment, in your wrath, remember mercy. If you are here this morning, you haven't been able to take this, put it into your heart. If you have not accepted Christ into your heart, I want you to know that he died for your sins. He died for my sin. And he's willing to come into your heart this morning. I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to ask you to bow down your head quietly. And I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Just in case if you haven't done it before, I'm going to ask you to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And he's going to come. I want you to bow with me, please. So, if you know from the depth of your heart that you're not sure that if Christ comes right now, that you're not going to be with him, the scripture says that salvation is now. So, if you know you have never asked Christ to come into your heart, I want you to repeat this prayer with me while you still bow your head. Just pray in your heart. So repeat whatever you had me say now. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I am a sinner. I can't save myself. I know that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die for my sin. I repent. I ask you for forgiveness. Come into my heart. Write my name in the book of life. Cancel my name in the book of death. Thank you, Jesus. For you said, if I will accept in my heart that Jesus died, and then on the third day, you raise him up, I will be saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Amen. If you pray that prayer, I want you to know you are a child of God. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So right now, I want to give microphone to any of us here who want to share one or two things God said to him this week. The microphone, please, is on the floor. If you want to tell us one thing or two things God said to you this week, just raise up your hand. Microphone will come to you before we do praise and prayer. Remember, I'm not asking you to share prayer topic or prayer request. No, I said what God said to you this week. That's all I'm asking. Our prayer request and the praise will come later on the PowerPoint. So if you know God said something to you this week, just raise up your hand. Yes, sir. Thank you.